Morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship. It is a special day in the life of our congregation because it is the day of our annual business meeting for church members. I believe it's the 213th annual business meeting, and that will be held downstairs after we're having a soup lunch after the service today, but invite those who'd like to come and stay for that, and then our business meeting. But prior to that, as we leave here today, you can see the soup pot's already there. You can see the prop put together for the Super Bowl. That's the S-U-P-E-R, and Mr. Mercury has put that together. He always appreciates being able to put the New England Patriots in one of the end zones, which we'll be able to do today. So, in addition to the football game, that the soup pots are there for S-O-U-P-E-R. Their handout in the bulletin today talks about that. And as I've been hearing and seeing a lot of ads and hearing about parties going on and food being made for, you know, the big thing going on tonight, but thinking about those that aren't going to be going to parties, don't have enough food to eat anytime. And that's what the Super Bowl Caring is all about. And that money will be going directly to Bread of Life to help with their ministry to those who are hungry in our greater Malden area. So I do want to encourage you to give $1 or more to the soup pot as you leave here today. And our closing hymn will be focusing on that as well. But several other things. The calendar for this week is on the inside back page of the bulletin. And just call your attention to that. Yesterday, the Habitat for Humanity International Food Fair was held at Swampscott, and we, along with Global Ark Baptist Church, sponsored a Korean table with Korean food, and made $201 at the table. And there are a few leftovers on the counter in the kitchen that are available for a donation, and that will be added to the $201 going to Habitat. And that money is being divided between the local affiliate on the North Shore and Habitat International, that money. You can get that during coffee hour. And also, I've already mentioned directly to Rosalind that there is a little confusion that Dave and Dottie Ladder are greeters and coffee hour hosts next week, not this week. And Rosalind Nowak and Amelia Lanton are greeters and coffee hour hosts today. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 573 for our responsive call to worship. Verses from Paul's letter to the Philippians: as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, let us read responsively from God's holy word. Rejoice in the Lord always.
I will say it again, rejoice.
Let your gentleness be evident to all.
The Lord is near.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice.
And the God of peace will be with you.
Our opening hymn this morning is Just a Closer Walk with Thee, number 607. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Pray together. O Holy Spirit of God, send your Spirit to be in us and with us. Inspire all of our thoughts, guide all of our decisions, and dictate all of our actions. Be with us in our silence and in our speech, in our haste and in our leisure, in our company, in our solitude, in the freshness of morning and in the weariness of evening. And give us grace at all times to rejoice in your mysterious companionship. We ask this all in the name of Jesus, and now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning I had an opportunity of telling, sharing celebrations and concerns with one another before going and spending a few moments in prayer. And we want to continue to keep Peggy Blum in prayer as Peggy continues to be ill at home. And Paul Patriot is continuing to receive physical therapy. And spoke with Barbara Colstrip this week, and her husband David is home from the hospital on Friday afternoon with palliative care from hospice. And Barbara will be the primary caregiver at home for David. So we want to keep the Colstrip family in prayer during this time. And we want to keep May Upperman in prayer as well. She's at home. And we want to remember Lana Cooper and Dorothy Berry in prayer today as they lost their brother Keith this past Monday. He's been ill for quite a while. We want to keep the family in prayer today. Arrangements still are pending. We haven't finalized arrangements yet. But we also do want to remember those who will be benefiting from the Super Bowl caring offering, not just our money, but those across the country that will be benefiting directly from it. It doesn't go to some headquarters place. The money stays local in each area which collects money, whether it's in school or church or organization. And just, you know, how many people will be benefiting. And those hungry people will have some more food because of our generosity. And, you know, people say, well, you know, they want to pray for the game tonight. And it's like, oh. I don't think God really cares whether it wins or loses. But, you know, we can pray for a safe game, you know, that there are no injuries, that type of thing, fair game, those types of things. But it's only a game. it's so much more. And
it's the world diversion.
The world is sort of stuck. Well, right between Super Bowl and politics, it's like right now it's sort of even this week is sort of now the Super Bowl is going to be over tomorrow, but by Tuesday it's going to be more politics. Something else will have to come along to sort of even up the scales. We do also want to continue to pray for our nation as well, and our president and his administration and decisions that he's making, whether we agree with them or not. We just want to pray for the president that he has wisdom in the decision that he does make. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns? Eleanor.
My brother-in-law, Harold Lane, he had to go to the nursing home.
Okay, so your brother-in-law is at a nursing home now. So we want to keep him in prayer. Betty, do you see your hand?
Yes. Reverend Henry Fleming is home.
Good.
He's doing pretty good, but at least he's home.
Okay, good.
He lives in Vermont now, mm-hmm. and we had three celebrations yesterday, three birthdays.
Wow. I know you've got a lot coming up.
Yes, we do.
I can't reach it from there.
Oh, yeah, my daughter. She had a heart attack. Cheryl Lynn, the one in Florida.
Cheryl Lynn had a heart attack? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So.
She doing okay?
Yeah. She's home.
So we want to keep your family in prayer today.
Yeah.
Extended family in prayer. Okay. Anyone else have a prayer request?
Irene?
We want to keep Phyllis in prayer.
For my dear friend Elena, who fell a month ago and broke two bones in her ankle and foot. Mm-hmm. And she's in rehab right now and not doing that great. She can't put any weight on either leg right now, so.
Yeah, so you know, keep your friend Eleanor, I know you've been to visit and try to keep her spirits up, but we want to pray for her today as well. Anyone else have a prayer request? Debbie?
So there's a family business transaction happening next week, so I also want to pray for wisdom and fairness.
Okay.
So,
okay. Can you make decisions? Yes. Okay. Anyone else? No, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Almighty and loving God, we pause this morning to spend these moments in conversation with you. We thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for the privilege of being able to come to your house this day to be in worship, to offer praise and glory to you, to open our hearts to you and bare our souls. Perhaps don't feel comfortable sharing that some information with anybody else. But Lord, we just lift them up, these prayers up to you. Lord, some of us have traveled quite a distance to be here, and others may have walked but a very short distance to be here. But however long our journey was, we're grateful to be able to be here today. Lord, we do give you all the praise and all the glory, for you are the reason that we are here this day. Lord, we lift up to those who are ill today and pray for your presence in their lives. And we pray for healing according to your will for them. And Lord, we know that you know what is best for each of us. And we just pray that our prayers may be in accordance with your will as well. And Lord, we pray that times that sometimes our prayers are not answered the way we would wish them to be. Lord, we just pray that we may have patience, that we may have acceptance of that. Lord, we lift up those today also who are in mourning, who are missing the loved one. Whether it's an anniversary of the death of someone or whether it's a recent death. Lord, there's a hole in many people's hearts today. We just pray that your Spirit may fill that hole, may comfort, may bring peace to those who are hurting for that reason. Lord, we lift up our nation today and pray for our new president and pray that he may have wisdom in decisions that he makes. And Lord, we see that we see so many protesters and others that are against what he's saying and doing and others who are supporting him. And Lord, we just see so much division in our nation right now. We pray that we may find common ground, that we may come together as people of this nation, that we may settle our differences peacefully, that we pray for our nation this day, that it may not necessarily be the greatest America of the past, but may be the nation that you want us to be. Lord, help us to seek that out. And we just pray for the leaders of our nation too, that they may turn to you and seek your guidance for their decision making. Lord, we just are so grateful that we have the freedoms that we have in this country. Lord, we also pray for our congregation today as we go to our annual business meeting and make decisions that will affect the future of our congregation. Lord, and we just pray for wisdom and guidance as we have conversations and make decisions that all, again, may be according to your will for this church. Lord, we lift all of these things to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
This being the first Sunday of the month, when we received communion, we also received two different offerings. And this first offering that we're about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. So at this time, the ushers receive your tithes and your gifts. Jesus, your name is above all names. You are our beautiful Savior. And as we present these tithes and gifts, we ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news of your love with others. We ask this in your name. Amen. Scripture lesson comes from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 12, beginning at verse 12 and going to the end of the chapter. And this follows just after Paul has written about the Lord's Supper and some instructions about that and about spiritual gifts. And then Paul writes, it's interesting, before I read that, to set a little background. The church at Corinth was a fractured church in that it had many factions within it saying, well, I belong to whichever spiritual leader they came to Christ under. So some were saying, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas. And in the beginning of the letter, you know, Paul says, you know, has Christ been divided? You know, it's like you're all part of one body. And this sort of cements this and gives some more illustration. So just as a setting, just listening to this as a church that seemed to be, you know, separated in little groups, Paul is calling them to be together. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For it is the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is written, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And Paul goes on then to describe what we call love. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we do come as members of your body, as individuals, but also together as one body in Christ. And Lord, we sometimes do want to pick ourselves apart and say, well, I'm better or I'm not as good. But Lord, we know that each of us, as in each part of our physical body, is important and has a task to do. And Lord, we pray this day that through this time together and this time of worship, that we may come to a greater appreciation of each other and of ourselves and the roles and tasks that we are being called to perform as being part of the body of Christ. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you haven't heard, it's Super Bowl Sunday. By tonight, the endless hoopla, frenzied advertising, and the football game itself will be over for another year. Super Bowl Sunday will have come and gone for another 364 days. Since our local team is playing tonight, the hype has been especially high around here. You can go to some places in the country where it's not as frantic as it is around here. Just like when the Patriots are not playing, it's not quite as elevated. Each New England news outlet has a team of reporters in Houston to record every word and every movement of players and officials in both pre-game and post-game interviews. And of all the interviews we have heard and probably will hear, we can categorize them into at least about three different types. First, there is the I'm or we're the greatest. Nothing can stop me or stop us interview. And this is usually, but not always, a pregame display as players psych themselves up and hope to psych out the competition. And the second type of interview is usually a post-game display. Typically, the star player praises his teammates and his coaches and throws a compliment to the opposition and then admits that, yes, I played a great game. I was able to do what I do at the best level I can do it. These interviews are really about giving the star some on-camera time. And the third type of interview makes many people uncomfortable. That's the Christian athlete interview. With humility and sincerity, these athletes praise God and thank Jesus for their skill and game performance. They don't boast or brag. They know that they are good. They know they performed well. But they point to a different source and power for their abilities than the coaching staff or the weightlifting regimen or their diet or their individual determination. A network sports reporter who asked not to be identified once said, "I think this type of talk is a disgrace. I don't think it's the right time or the right place. I believe in God, but I'm going to save my prayers for something I consider much more important than a football game." So apparently, it's okay for high ego athletes to yell and gesture, "I'm number one, I'm the best." They can dance and strut their stuff all they want. But if high character athletes give glory to God rather than themselves, if they thank God rather than their genes, they get criticized. Amazingly, believers are often most uncomfortable with this kind of post-game confession of faith. We back off, we button our lips, we look embarrassed. We should be celebrating, for as we read in this morning's text from the Apostle Paul, if one part of the body is praised, all the other parts should share in that happiness. Someone once paraphrased this morning's scripture from 1 Corinthians in Super Bowl imagery this way: "For the team is one and has many players, and all the players of the team, though many, are one team. Indeed, the team does not consist of one player, but of many." If the defensive end would say, "Because I am not a quarterback, I do not belong to the team," that would not make him any less a part of the team. And if the right tackle would say, "Because I'm not a wide receiver, I do not belong to the team," that would not make him any less a part of the team. If the whole team were tackles, where would the running backs be? If the whole team were running backs, where would the kickers be? And if the whole team were kickers, where would the cornerbacks be? But as it is, the coach has arranged the players of the team, each one of them as he chose. If all were quarterbacks, where would the team be? As it is, there are many players, yet one team. The quarterback cannot say to the tackle, "I don't need you." Nor can the defensive ends say to the running backs, "We don't need you." On the contrary, if one player suffers, the team suffers together with him. But if one player is honored, the team rejoices with him. The Apostle Paul was not the first writer to compare the parts with the whole, that is, the players with the team. But in his familiar analogy between the human body and the body of Christ, Paul uses this metaphor to affirm both the diversity and the unity that is in Christ. Variety is affirmed as a God-given gift, but variations in function and design are wholly attributed to God, not to any inherent superiority of one body part over another. The essence of Paul's message can be summed up this way: there are no humble parts, only God-given functions. All must be celebrated. So it is game day. And as members of the body of Christ, the Jesus team, we are being called to play in the Super Bowl of life. And we may find ourselves asking, what part of the body or what position on the team do each of us have? What is our role in the game? In his first recorded sermon, Jesus reveals the four essential plays that are needed to compete in the real Super Bowl of life. First, to bring good news to the poor, those who have little of the world's goods, or those who are poor in spirit. And secondly, we are to seek the release of those bound in all types of captivity, such as habits, prejudice, guilt, or despair. And the third play is to offer new vision to those who are physically blind or spiritually unsighted, and healing for those who are wounded or diseased. And finally, the last play that the Jesus team is supposed to be engaged in is to give freedom to those who are oppressed, used and abused, and those who are marginalized and forgotten. And as Jesus was completing his ministry here on earth, he promised to send the Holy Spirit that would enable and empower his followers to continue in the ministry that he had started. That's where we find ourselves today, engaged in the Super Bowl of our lives, carrying out the plays that Jesus has designed for us. And just like any team sport, we cannot do this alone. We have different responsibilities on the Jesus team. And along with the Spirit's guidance, we need each other if the plays are going to be carried out successfully. May we be encouraged through this time of worship, strengthened as we share the Lord's Supper together, and emboldened to accept the call and challenge to play our very best for the Jesus team. And as the songwriter once penned, give of the best to the Master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Let's pray together. Lord, we are very diverse, and yet we are each very important. And Lord, we do seek to give of our best to you. Lord, some of us may be seeking today what role we may play on your team, what job you may have us to be doing, what play you want us to be doing. Lord, we just pray that our hearts and minds may be open to your leading in our lives. If one of us, Lord, has wisdom that needs to share that with someone else, open our mouths to do that. Lord, we just pray that this time together may be a time of re-energizing and refocusing our thoughts and our energies, that we are working together as your team here on earth. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is I Come With Joy, number 747. We'll be singing verses 1 through 3. Seated.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we received two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering.
For the invitation of coming to eat and drink with you. We know, Lord, that we have not earned a seat at your table, that there's not a seat guaranteed there for us because of our good deeds. Lord, we confess to you that we have made mistakes. We have done things that go against your will. In silence now, Lord, we confess to you those sins that we are aware of, and we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, thank you for hearing our confessions. We pray now that you will forgive us of our sins, cleanse our hearts, and purify us, and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. Amen. As Jesus' life was concluding here on earth, he was concerned about his followers, that they would become fractious and they would become separated.
They wanted something that would pull them together and would remind them of who they were and what he was going to be doing for them. So they were celebrating a meal up in the upper room, and that was having to be a Seder meal. It was celebrating the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And part of that meal was bread. And Jesus took the bread from the meal and gave thanks to God for it. And of course, at that point, the disciples probably knew what was going on. And then he said some new words. And he said, as he began breaking this, he said, this bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Jesus took the cup. He then gave thanks to God for the cup, began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, saying, this cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup.
Make me a servant. Make me.
Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross that we might have life. Life eternal, life in all its fullness. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to the cross, allowing your body to be broken and your blood to be shed for us. Lord, we pray that like those first disciples, that though we may be confused, we may not fully understand all that you have done for us, we pray, Lord, that we may be faithful in our discipleship, that we may be part of your team, part of your body, sharing your love with others. We ask this in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn that night before going out. Our closing hymn is printed on the insert, and it's in focusing. Oh, I'm sorry, it's on the back page of bulletin. God, you give us recreation, and this is focusing on our Super Bowl caring offering. Unique gifts of the Spirit, generosity, compassion, leadership, teaching, and countless others. And we are called to proclaim the crucified and risen Christ. Go from this place as members of Jesus' team, committed to use your gifts to the glory of God, and know that God goes with us. Amen.